Hey, this is Stephanie McKay, and I'm hanging out with Agent J on the Groovement.
Uptown on the block where I come from, we got nothing but love. Where you at? Put your hands in the air and get on up now. Shout out on my girls on the way, and the good times back in the day on Jackson Avenue.
Back in the day on the block we be playing.
Okay, I'm in the dark recesses of the back of the Mint Lounge with Stephanie McKay. Stephanie, welcome back to Manchester.
Oh, thanks. It's nice to be here back at the Mint Lounge.
So you were here. The night was called Friends and Family. Who else was on the bill that night?
Oh, I was down there with Lyrics Born, and it was a fun tour. We did about 12 dates around Europe.
Yeah. That was a launch for his new LP at the time, wasn't it?
Yes.
At the time, how did you perform? Was it just you on vocals and backing tracks?
Yes, I had a guitarist, a laptop, and myself opening up for lyrics.
Tell me about the band that you're with tonight.
We have three gentlemen, one based in London, the other two in America, and it's Noel on drums, Leon on bass, and Morris on guitar. And I just met them. This is my first time playing with them. They're all lovely gentlemen and very professional.
Morris especially seemed very sweet. I was watching very quiet.
He's from Jamaica. He's too sweet. I'm like, come on, yeah. you gotta show me your mean side. Yeah.
Maybe once there's an audience in front of him, he becomes an animal.
Yeah, you never know. There's that type too, yeah.
So you become a mom recently. Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, the obvious stuff, but also it's maybe, I think, a couple of months, I think I'm right in saying that, is it?
6 weeks.
Really?
6 weeks ago I gave birth, and my son is just beautiful, the love of my life, and his name is Ezra, and I miss him so much. And before I gave birth, I committed to these dates. I was a little ambitious, and I wanted to keep my word to the promoters and booking agents who supported me. And so I committed to doing this tour, but it's very hard. And yes, I'm enjoying being a mom. I can't wait to get back to Paris, to where my son is staying with his grandmother, to visit him.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah.
So
visit him, to pick him up. Yeah,
to visit him. To grab him, cuddle him.
For the 3 days I have off, and then go back on the road, finish the dates, and come back again. Yeah.
So is well, Ezra be brought up sort of Paris, Brooklyn? Is that what he's looking at?
Oh, I'm in East Harlem now. So yeah, he'll be going back and forth between Guadeloupe, where his dad is from, and New York, and Paris. When I'm working in Europe, yep. He's going to be intercontinental. He's got his passport stamped already. He isn't even 2 months old. Yeah.
So did you play him a lot of music while he was in your belly?
Oh, yeah. I played particularly this band called Little Dragon. Yeah, this song twice. I played that a lot during my pregnancy, and that seems to soothe him. Yeah.
It's better than TV theme tunes, yeah. I think. A lot of people get played. So you started writing quite young, am I right?
Yes, I mean, I started writing songs when I was 11, but my professional singing career started when I was about 18, and I was singing in a girl group, and that was my first professional experience. It was like a contest, open contest, and I auditioned for it, and I entered the music business. But before that, I was dancing. I wanted to be a professional dancer, modern dancer.
Oh, I mean, the dancing, do you still get to dance? Oh, I mean, yeah. Obviously on stage, but...
Yeah, I have a good time on stage, and basically, you know, the discipline of dance has given me, you know, a good foundation for, you know, discipline, basically, in my overall life, keeping routine, learning how to practice good habits, good eating habits, good physical, I want to stay physical all my life because of that dance experience I had. I'm always... wanting to move, and I move on stage. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you effectively sort of, I mean, you're a very independent artist. Can you tell me a little bit about Mothers of Invention, and also how you sort of manage yourself and how much, you know, you sort out yourself?
Well, I started under the wing of Jeff Barrow. Portishead was my first album, and I was signed to a major label, Universal, and then my second album was going to be released on EMI. So I did start in the structure of a major label, and then when those structures weren't particularly... they didn't give me the support that I was thinking they would, because they were restructuring and firings and all that. I decided to go independent, and I found a business partner. And I really feel this is the most empowered I've felt my whole career. I feel like this organically is a better way to do music business for me, as far as going out on my own, booking the shows, having a booking agent to support, and because the artist has more of a say in how they want to direct their career, and I feel better having more hands-on experience with the business day-to-day rather than being in this big structure where you're told as an artist, don't worry about this, don't worry about this, you just concentrate on performing and we'll take care of the business. Meanwhile, you don't know what's going on. You're the only seeing royalties, you're not seeing anything. This one, I know exactly what I get every month. You know, I know what I'm putting in for my shows, we work out the budget together. It's just great. I prefer it that way, and I feel like, you know, that's the way music business should be in the future.
Yeah. Do you find yourself going through phases of touring, so not being able to write, and then focusing on writing a new record and songs, or is it always a continuous process for you writing tunes? And
I think it's always a continuous process for me, because I never know when something's going to inspire me, what I see, or I might get a melody idea or a story idea from something that I'm, you know, has happened to me in my life, or that I'm experiencing on the road, or seeing someone else go through. So it's a continuous process. Yeah, definitely.
Going back to East Harlem and the Bronx, as the dust has sort of settled in the past few years from 9/11, and America's gone through massive sort of positive upheavals, I think, with Barack and stuff, how is life on the street, and obviously thinking about Elsie growing up, how is America climate-wise for you now, do you perceive, for the average person on the New York street?
Well, now, I mean, the big thing has been, you know, economic. I mean, people are going through, people are unemployed at home, they're trying to find jobs, people are losing their homes, you know, there's a lot of transitions going on, and, you know, so the hope is there, because we have a new administration and there's hope that there's change that's going to happen, but everybody knows it's going to be a slow time, and, you know, but I mean, I have to admit, it's very hard, and you see this kind of old going into the new generation. Like, there's this conservative, white, older man who used to have control of the political power, most of the political power, and now that's kind of changing because the face of the nation is changing and more color oriented, all different races, and so the new administration reflects that, and there's a lot of fear in this transition happening. So, you know, there's a lot of undermining of people and trying to talk about a lot of propaganda and make a division between instead of uniting. So that the thing I like about the administration now and what's happening with, you know, some of the people I see in New York is that there's a real force to unite, and people are more conscious of, you know, of the truth. People are not as blinded as they were before and feel as detached from their government as they did before. And people have more to say and are encouraged to speak out, which is like is like an anomaly from what it was before, where everybody was kind of kept ignorant and distracted by various things, popular culture that had nothing to do with, where I feel like this new administration is really encouraging people to be a part of the change that's happening.
Do you think that when you were growing up, when you were a teenager, and your sort of group of friends and people you knew at the time who were your age, do you think their lives might have led a different path in any way if that colour had been prominent back then?
I think, well, my friends, actually, I think the mentality that we had was, you know, we can do anything. We can do anything we wanted to do. I guess I never really thought that way in terms of race, you know, and how I grew up. You know, was diverse culturally in the Bronx. It was culturally diverse, in the Bronx. So I never really looked at race, and my parents didn't really dictate that race would be something that held me back. They just supported me in anything I wanted to do. And so I don't know if that would have, but it definitely is going to change for the new generation. I guess somewhere in your subconscious you did think, well, some things are off limits to me. But I didn't think it was really, I don't know. Seeing the face of someone of color in the White House has opened up a lot of doors for this younger generation. So maybe it did on a subconscious level.
But even not just for the kids, it's for the white classes, yeah, seeing that as well, and then saying, well, now that's the role model there. So right, we've got this. So maybe it's coming from their end as well.
Yeah, it's true. It definitely shifts a consciousness in the whole nation because of the history of the country and how slavery affected people's subconscious about the classes. You know, people thinking, stereotyping black people as in a certain way. I saw a very funny comedy sketch on Jon Stewart recently where this guy was saying, oh yeah, it's not cool to be black anymore, because the stereotype of the black man was always like, you know, the pimp, the pimp, impoverished, uneducated, the pimp, the crook, and now we have this well-educated black man that always existed, but now it's in the forefront, it's in the White House, so now that other class of black has become uncool, so now you see all these articulate journalists and all these spokespersons that you never saw before of color coming out now, and you're like, hey, where are these people, you know, where were these people before? And now, you know, it's a whole market and advertising. You see more people looking like Sasha and Obama's children. So yeah, it's just shifted the whole trend. I hope it doesn't become just a trendy thing. I hope it just becomes, you know, the way of life. It's all different races. We all live together, and anybody can be anywhere. You know, the Latin, Asian, whatever, you know, whatever race you are. I'm just saying, like, Obama's really, you know, I think the whole marketing of his thing is he's the people's president. Like, I hear he goes down into the kitchen every morning to say good morning to all the people at work. You know, he's just trying to kind of break down the classes of, you know, I'm no better than you, I'm no different than you, and you know, that's a new attitude, a new, definitely.
Tell us about what's going to, I mean, for recording artists, you sometimes you record things and then you have to wait a couple of years for things to sort of come out. What sort of projects have you got? I know you've worked with Catalyst a lot as a sort of duo. What projects have you got coming up for actual release?
I have something, a collaboration with DJ 45 Swingo from Japan coming out May 15th. And then I did a chorus on the Dead President's new album with Green Lantern, DJ Green Lantern. And that was in New York. And DJ Catalyst, I'm still writing that album because of pregnancy delayed a lot of things I had planned in the works to come out last year. So now I'm still writing on that, and I hope to have that out in the fall, the collaboration album with him. And I have about six songs into the third album. So yeah, it's great when you work independent. You can work in your own time schedule, and you don't feel pressured, you know, because having a kid really shifts everything, turns your life upside down, really. I'm going through no sleep, trying to tour,
You could have six songs pre-baby and six songs post-baby.
Right.
Could be two halves.
Exactly, and you know that your voice changes when you're pregnant. So it does something specifically when you're pregnant, and then after you're pregnant, it changes. So that would be like two different sounds on one record. Yeah,
that would be very interesting, very conceptual. First trailblazer for that. Even in soundcheck, what sticks out for me about you and has done for ages is the lyrics. And the sort of passion and meaning, and actually, you know, that is someone who is singing songs that they've written that they really believe in. And I know it's always been that you might have. There was a exhibition really recently by Emery Douglas, who is the Minister of Culture for the Black Panther Party, and it had been in California, and it came to Manchester, and it just closed down in April, and it's moved on somewhere else. But they had the lyrics from "It's Bigger Than Hip Hop" by Dead Prez on sort of typed on a big sheet, and as you walked in they had a lot of stuff about sort of lynchings and then civil rights movement, and obviously moved through Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and you came into a schoolroom, and the schoolroom had little desks and books and lots of photocopied things, and then the lyrics up there, and it was really prominent to see music that sort of meant something up there. And I feel, especially in the UK, there's a massive sort of lack of actual voice. I don't think a lot of people either shut their ears to it or aren't missing it because it was never there, maybe, especially in the last 20 years or so. Do you feel there's a lack of voice in music generally, or are you exposed to a lot of people that, you know, really mean something when they're recording music?
I think on the independent scene there are lots of people that are you know, speaking about realism in their songs and about day-to-day life. It's just you don't hear it on commercial radio so much. It's more pop. I know UK has traditional history of, you know, promoting pop music. That's it. I think there's lots of people out there, especially the roots of hip-hop and people who are, you know, true to hip-hop, but are always trying to use it as a social form of communication, like this new artist, Kanan. He's someone that is exceptional in his lyrics, and he really has a passion for language. He's from Ethiopia. Yes, Kanan, you can check him out.
Is it hip-hop or sort of...
It's hip-hop, yeah. It's hip-hop. And he's done collaborations with Mos Def and who else? I like this other artist, Janelle Monáe. Do you have her out here? Oh, okay. She's from Atlanta, I believe. And she's really different, kind of like punk. There's a large community of artists that are doing it at home. Yeah, you just don't see them in the mainstream, that's why.
Yeah.
And Michael Franti's been singing socially conscious hip-hop for years, yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited to be a part of that. I didn't ever thought of myself as just that. You know, I like to sing love songs too, but I just, growing up on Grandmaster Flash and those kind of roots of hip-hop, I just... Yeah, look at music as a form of communication like that, and expressing what people day to day go through. You know, what realism in the songs. That's important to me because I have to believe what I'm singing. If I'm living it and seeing it and breathing every day, it's gonna come through. You know, the music. It's just natural.
So Flash interviewed recently because obviously he's got a new LP out and it's 30 years of hip hop and everything, and he's very much on the tip that it was him, it was all about him.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a really valid view, or do you believe that there was the block parties and everything, it was a community thing that birthed hip hop rather than just one DJ?
Oh no, I believe it was a community. Yeah, no, I mean the DJs were the core center of it because the parties were built around them, but then it grew from there. It definitely became a communal thing, absolutely. DJs before him, DJ Cool
Herc. Yeah, Cool Herc. Yeah, totally. Okay, Jim Croce. I wanted to chat to you about. You're familiar with this stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
I saw his name. His name popped up with your name during the Google search.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Well, he's you know, I grew up listening to 70s AM radio, and so you know Jim Croce and all the great songwriters, Janis Ian, all those you know, they're just great songwriters. They tell stories, you know, that are timeless.
This is what I wanted to say about. You think about like Message in a Bottle or Operator. Oh my gosh. And it's so heart wrenching.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, the lyrics are real. I mean, the lyrics are timeless, absolutely timeless. Yeah.
What do you sort of listen to at the moment?
Well, I still listen to Little Dragon. I really like her. I love her voice. And let's see, who else am I listening to? Oh gosh, I like the new Bob Dylan album.
I've not heard it actually.
Yeah, it's excellent. Let's see. What else? I listen to Kanan. I like Kanan. I don't know. Various things. Right now, I'm just trying to get sleep. So I haven't listened to anything at last since I had the baby. I'm like, but.
Just some sea breezes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm listening to his breath in the night, and I'm listening to his cooing in the day, and that's it. Yeah.
Okay, so tonight at the Mint Lounge, we've got do you know how long your set's going to be?
Oh, it's going to be about an hour and a half.
Oh, really? Wow.
Maybe an hour. I'll see how it goes.
2 hours?
I just had a baby. Yeah, I just had a baby. So maybe let me not be too ambitious. All right, yeah. Minimum an hour. We'll do an hour.
Right, it was a real buzz, not just among people I know I've seen, you know, the Facebook thing and everything. There's a real buzz about it. So I'm really, it'll be a really, really nice vibe tonight. So have a really, really good show.
Thanks.
Are you previewing
much.
Some of your new stuff as well? Some of those new six songs or?
No, I'm not going to play those yet because we just rehearsed with this band. So we got to get the basic songs first and then we'll move on.
Well, you're so nice.
Into the tour.
So it's okay. If that, you know, if we miss that, that's cool. We'll be all right.
Yeah, because I don't
James Brown would be like, find.
Well, you know, when you're first playing with people, you don't want to stress people out. You want to have fun as a bass.
You don't want to be known as a Little Dragon yourself.
Yeah. If we're not having fun, you're not going to have fun. So, yeah, I just like to keep a bit of improvisation in the mix to keep it fresh. Yeah.
Jeff, the promoter, has been on at me. Like, he's been talking about getting you. So
dream,
really
yeah.
happy for him as well.
Yeah, you know, this is a dream. I'm glad to come here on my own show finally. Yeah. Be in Manchester, so.
Great. We'll have a top one tonight, Stephanie.
Thanks so much, Agent J. Wanna be better than oxygen, so you can breathe when you're drowning and weak in the knees. I wanna speak louder than Ritalin for all the children who think that they've got a disease. I wanna be cooler than TV for all the kids that are wondering what they're gonna be. We can be stronger than bombs if you're singing along and you know that you really believe. We can be richer than industry as long as we know that there's things that we don't really need. We can speak louder than ignorance cause we speak in silence every time our eyes meet. At stake, I wanna hold.
afraid to catch a dream. I weave your baskets and I float them down the river stream. Each one I weave with words, I speak to carry your love to your relief. If I'm afraid to catch a dream, I weave your baskets and I float them down the river stream. Each one I weave with words, I speak to carry your love to your relief.
On and on it goes. The world just keeps on spinning until I'm dizzy. Time to breathe. So close my eyes and start again. On and on it goes. The world just keeps on spinning until I'm dizzy. Time to breathe. So close my eyes and start again. Anew.
Hey, this is Stephanie McKay, and I'm hanging out with Agent J on The Groovement.